It's the baseball reporters. No Tony Maz tonight. Adam Jones, unfortunately, in for Tony as we take you up until 7 o'clock here on the Sports Hub. I have my BBWAA press pass just for a day. I have a day pass hook. They're allowing me here on the baseball reporters. It is a higher level of discussion in
That's
this
nice.
Hour.
Yes.
I don't want to take it into the gutter like I normally do at 7 o'clock. We're going to raise the bar here for the next hour talking baseball on the baseball reporters, which is brought to you by Hot Summer Fun at Mohegan Sun, Connecticut, now through September 3rd. I will be getting to all your phone calls here, 617-779-0985. Text roll in at 69985 as we are live inside our Town Fair Tire studios. And, Hook, I want to begin with something that Nick and myself were discussing last night, and it appears to have picked up a little bit of traction here today. I know the Boston Globe was writing about something very similar today. The idea that when you put Dave Dombrowski's trade track record here in Boston, I'm not going back to Detroit or Florida, it's certainly not Montreal, here in Boston, I think his track record is actually a little underrated. Actually, I think he's done quite a bit better than I thought. And how I framed it last night, Hook, is that when I thought he had a deal in place, you know, because some of the reporting early on Monday or Tuesday night, whenever it was, when the Yankees landed Frazier and Robertson and Canely, the initial reporting was the Red Sox are at the forefront of this. The Red Sox may be the team getting Frazier and Robertson. And I had a pit in my stomach. My heart sank. I said, well, great. Here we go. What's Dombrowski going to give up to get these guys? How's he going to overpay? How's he going to lose the deal? Okay, that's how I felt about it at the time. And then the more I was talking it out, talking out all his various trades, talking about all the different moves that he's made, as I was talking about it on the air, I'm like, man, most of the deals right now feel like they're wins. Most of the deals that he's made feel like he's come out on top. And I know he has stripped the farm system bare. There is not much left. If that's your criticism of Dombrowski, then fine. I mean, that one's inarguable. There's not a lot left in the farm system. But as I said last night, Hook, if he's usually winning the trade more often than not, isn't that kind of the idea of putting prospects into a trade? Isn't that kind of the idea of flipping those guys to help out your major league team and win the deal? Isn't that kind of the name of the game? So, Hook, I went through, and in my very rudimentary exercise last night, I had the following for Dombrowski, the highest profile deals that he made. I think he has three wins. Three. Sales a win. Kimbrel's a win. I think right now you have to chalk up Pomerantz as a win. And I know Tony Maz, normally sitting here on the baseball reporters, doesn't want to give Pomerantz any credit. I know he hates that deal. Maybe in 5 years, when Anderson Espinosa is A, healthy, and B, maybe in the major leagues, we'll start looking at it differently. But Pomerantz is pitching well this year. And even if you take the entire sample size of Pomerantz going back to last season, the entire sample size of him in Boston, he has a sub-4 ERA, counting last year. And he was a mess last year. So I think you have to count Pomerantz as a win. Kimbrel and Sale to me are self-explanatory. Thornburg is self-explanatory on the other side. That's an obvious loss that he's going to take, and it's just going to keep on getting worse. And other than that, we're talking about, to me, inconsequential deals or deals that were even. Carson Smith was not a loss. They gave up Wade Miley, who sucks. They gave up a guy who has a 5-plus ERA 2 years in a row. They didn't give up anything. They didn't get anything, but they didn't lose anything. And then deals like Ziegler, if you wanted to twist my arm, I'd probably call that a win, but let's call that a push for now. Relatively inconsequential. Aaron Hill, relatively inconsequential. Same thing with Fernando Abad. I think when you put his trade track record under a microscope, you should have a high degree of confidence in Dave Dombrowski heading into the trade deadline 10 days from now. That's what I think, and I didn't believe that earlier in the week until I really went back and looked at it.
I would agree, and I think one of the biggest things in and I've lived other places in the country, but most of my sports life has been here in Boston. I don't know if Boston is particular in this way, but I know that they, it seems, vastly overrate unproven people, whether it's prospects or the backup quarterback or the whatever in this city. They love the guy that's all promise and no proof at this point, right? So Anderson Espinosa is a perfect, you gave up Anderson, how did, well, get it.
He's the next Pedro!
I mean, come on. A few years ago, people would have been beside themselves if you had traded Henry Owens. The simple fact of the matter is, in baseball, there are so few prospects that you can really, truly rely on and know that they're going to become something. In fact, there might be none. When you're playing at single A, come on. Single A, double A, there's just, you don't know. You don't know. And so when you give up these people and the Tony Maseratis of the world freak out, and I honestly think, not necessarily Tony, but a lot of guys out there have never heard of these. I mean, how many people? Do you remember people talking about Anderson Espinosa?
I mean, a little bit.
Before that trade?
I think I would just alter the way you said it, Hook. Instead of saying that people haven't heard of him, they certainly haven't seen him.
No.
Yeah, like, I had heard of Anderson Espinosa. I kind of knew where he ranked on prospect list, but I had never seen the guy pitch. It's not like, I brought up this analogy last night. It's not like college football. It's not like college hoops where there's a real chance you could have seen these guys play. Whether you'll be right about them or not, who knows? But if you're a college hoops guy or a college football guy, you've probably seen some of these players that are drafted by the Patriots or the Celtics or whomever. Most of these baseball prospects, unless you saw them in Lowell or unless you see them higher up in the majors, you were talking about single A guys, guys higher up in the minors rather, Portland or Pawtucket, you likely haven't seen these guys. So that to me is the difference. Maybe you've heard of them. You've heard the buzzword or read about them in the paper, heard about them on sports talk radio, but you certainly haven't watched them.
And I think if you look at it, I mean, and you talked about this last night, so maybe you looked at it, but I would wager to bet if I asked everybody out there right now, you know, of all the people that Dombrowski has traded away, who right now is contributing to a baseball team the most?
I mean, maybe it's going to be Moncada shortly. He just got called up in Chicago. It's probably Margot.
Yeah, I think it's Manuel Margot, who's been a contributor of sorts to the San Diego Padres, who are not a competing team right now.
What's it, you have his numbers. He's sitting like sub 260 with 5 home runs and 10 steals. And he's young, and he could turn into something, but he was blocked here in Boston.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the other thing about the prospects, and this is kind of a separate argument, when you talk about rating the prospects, if I'm looking at the Red Sox, you have an entire outfield of guys who are young and under team control for a long time. Parts of your infield are that as well. And you've got some young pitching out there, but not nearly as much that. But position player-wise, where the hell was Manuel Margot going to play? Was he going to be the fourth outfielder? Because he's not as good as any of the three guys you have out there right now. And isn't that what a GM is asked to do? You trade from a strength to build up a weakness. This team does not have, did not have, great starting pitching. They had a pretty good young outfielder. So I'm going to trade unproven starting pitching and a closer to the majors outfielder for proven starting pitching, or, you know, at least in the process of proving himself and Drew Pomeranz starting pitching.
So we'll get to your thoughts on this. 617-779-0985. Again, what is your confidence level in Dave Dombrowski heading into the trade deadline? It's 10 days away. I was asking myself this a couple of days ago, and your confidence level in the GM should be higher than it feels like most of the city feels about Dombrowski. It feels like, and maybe it's because of what Hook said, maybe it's because of something else, it feels like people are acting like I did earlier in the week, which is wrong, by the way. I was wrong about this. It feels like people are waiting for Dombrowski to overpay, to panic, and to lose the deal. And when the fact of the matter is, he has rarely lost the deal. Not never. Thornburg is a big loss. Travis Shaw's tearing it up in Milwaukee. There are more prospects on the way. Thornburg's a loss. He has rarely lost a deal. Find me another loss outside of the Thornburg trade. And there are some wins that I think outweigh that one, and in their totality, certainly outweigh it. Sale and Kimbrel and Pomeranz, by the way, is a win. 617-779-0985. You mentioned, Hook, why you think the perception is off on Dombrowski. And it may just be that fans fall in love with prospects in every sport, and specifically in baseball. You fall in love with the next shiny object that could be helping your team at the major league level. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think the reasons why the perception is off, in my opinion, on Dave Dombrowski about how he's done with trades, whether he wins them or loses them or overpays or whatever, I think two reasons why the perception is off. One, his last deal was his worst deal, right? That's the most recent one that we're all thinking about. The Thornburg deal is the one that is on our brains right now.
And to be clear, when I said the player that's most contributing, I meant of the prospects. You know, Travis Shaw is clearly the player who's contributing the most at the major league level right now.
Oh, I see.
But when he was traded away, I don't think anyone said, oh, my God, A, he wasn't a prospect anymore.
No.
And B, I don't know that, you know, the mayor of Ding Dong City, in all respects to all of that, I don't think people were really up in arms about seeing Travis Shaw go. So we were all wrong.
I was happy to see him go. That's another thing I was wrong about. Yeah. I like that Thornburg trade, and my God, talk about being wrong. Not as wrong as Dombrowski was, but whatever. Anyway, so that would be the first thing, is that that's his most recent deal. So
yes.
I think that clouds the perception of Dombrowski. That impacts it because that's the last one that's sticking in our craw. The second thing is, and it's true and it's inarguable, he has stripped down the farm system. And I think Red Sox fans look at it and go, oh, wow, we had the number two farm system or whatever it was when Cherington was here. Because Lord knows, Cherington could never bring himself to trade a prospect. He could never do it. Dombrowski is the other extreme. Dombrowski probably does it too much. Cherington could never, ever bring himself to trade a prospect. He couldn't do it. Not a high-level one. He never would have done that Chris Sale deal. I'm convinced of that. He never would have done Moncada and Kopech for Sale. And that's why I hated Cherington as a GM. Way too gun-shy, right? Way too gun-shy. But I look at it and I say a lot of fans are, if not nervous, they just look at what they used to have in the cupboard, stocked up with prospects, and it's no longer there. And I think that's why fans are freaking out about Dombrowski. He's lost out on other bullets to make other deals down the line, and I think that's why the perception is off, my opinion, on the president, Red Sox president, that is. 617-779-0985. We'll get to all your phone calls here on the job that Dave Dombrowski has done, your confidence level in him heading into the trade deadline 10 days from now. And I do want to add another topic. We're talking a lot about which prospects you'd include and what should they give up for various needs. Should Dombrowski be thinking about giving up a roster player? Should he be thinking about including someone like, oh, I don't know, Jackie Bradley Jr., Eduardo Rodriguez? If we're thinking big, and Dombrowski usually thinks big, should he consider moving a roster player at this year's trade deadline, not just prospects? We'll get to that after the CBS Sports Minute. It is Tiki Barber explaining why one rumored destination for Carmelo Anthony does not make sense. It's in the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by Brigham Gill Chrysler Jeep.
Baseball Reporters with Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub, Radio.com. Radio.com. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It is the Baseball Reporters program here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It is a higher level of discourse as we take you up until 7 o'clock. Adam Jones with my day pass from the BBWAA in for Tony Maserati tonight. We're taking your phone calls, 617-779-0985. We have all your texts as well at 69985. Marshall Hook alongside as we're putting Dave Dombrowski's trade track record under the microscope, which we started doing last night. I noticed that's picked up some traction here this afternoon. Boston Globe has written something very similar. Well, you know, nuance. The key is nuance. I noticed that the Boston Globe piece had more nuance than mine did. So we've decided to put his trade track record under a microscope. And I think when you look at it, Dombrowski has gotten not a raw deal, because Dombrowski has made what felt like at the time plenty of questionable moves. I didn't like the Kimbrel trade when it went down. That's probably the biggest one that jumped out to me. That felt like an overpay. Why would you include four prospects and two top prospects for any closer, even an elite one? So I think he's gotten his fair share of flack. I just think the view of Dombrowski is off the mark. It feels like he's catching a lot of heat for one bad deal. And he's gone out and made some home run deals. Sale is a home run. Kimber right now is a home run. And Pomerantz ain't a home run, but it's a win. That's a win right now. Espinosa's not pitching for a long, long time in the major leagues, if he ever even gets there. I think above low A, or maybe even above like the Dominican League or Gulf Coast League or wherever he was, Hook, I don't think Espinosa's even pitched that well.
No.
He had a good rookie season, and then he got to A-ball, and he didn't pitch well here in this organization. He didn't pitch well in San Diego, and now he's having Tommy John surgery. And all you gave up for Pomerantz was that prospect. And we'll see if he ever gets to the majors. I don't know what all these deals are going to turn into. Moncada might be a two- or three-time MVP and a perennial All-Star, and we'll start reevaluating the Sale trade. But right now, the only loss I see, Hook, the only one, and I understand there's some debate on Carson Smith, there's some on Pomerantz, sure, we can discuss it, but the only loss I see is Thornburg.
Yeah.
Everything else is either a push or a win.
And the thing about the Thornburg trade, as I just pointed out to you off air, is that would be the one that at the time the fewest people complained about.
Yeah,
right?
I liked it a lot. Again, because I was wrong, but I liked it a lot.
It didn't really involve a prospect thing. You know, Travis Shaw, a little old to be a prospect. And yes, hindsight right now, it just so happens Travis Shaw is exactly what this team needs. and he's hitting pretty well out there in Milwaukee. So yeah, that one does not work out in the moment. The one thing that I and this perhaps even helps out Dombrowski more. Tyler Thornburg, part of the reason that it's such a loss is Tyler Thornburg is hurt, right? And I don't know that you can really blame a guy for trading for somebody. It wasn't as though this was a pre-existing injury, right? I mean, part of the reason...
No, Carson Smith, there were more red flags, yes, right, with his delivery and everything,
true.
Yeah.
But part of the reason that, for instance, Anderson Espinosa right now is such a win for the Red Sox is because he's hurt. So I'm just putting this out there that, you know, potentially... Absent the injuries to Carson Smith and Tyler Thornburg, this could look even better from Dombrowski's point of view.
And look, I'm not even trying to sugarcoat it. Thornburg's a loss. Even if he were lights out this year, Hook.
Yep.
Even if he were lights out this year, would you rather have a third baseman who's raking with three more prospects on the way or a lights out eighth inning guy?
This is true, but also right now, what is one of the things that this team is desperately looking for?
They need a lights out eighth inning guy, but they could also use a slugging third baseman.
Yes.
So
maybe at worst they're running in place there in a different place. Who knows?
I would just say I'm not even trying to put any spin on it. It's a loss. That trade's a loss either way.
It is.
Even if Thornburg were here pitching well, it's a loss.
It looks worse because he's you know, hasn't pitched.
That's true. And Carson Smith, by the way, they could still turn that one into a win. If Carson Smith ever gets here and pitches, not that I'm holding my breath, Miley stinks. Like, they gave up nothing in that trade. Nothing in that trade. So that one's not going to be a loss. At worst, it's going to be a push. And if Carson Smith ever gives you anything, even if it took a year and a half or two full years, you actually wind up getting something out of that trade.
You know, maybe Roenis Elias could come along any day now.
Good point. I haven't looked into his minor league numbers. I probably don't want to. Let's go to Nate in Newton. What's going on tonight, Nate?
Hey, yeah, so two things I think about Dombrowski. One is you're talking about, like, everybody loves the prospects. I think in Boston we're very optimistic about the future and very pessimistic about the present. And the prospects that we hear about, that we know, like you're talking about just in name, nobody ever sees them, but we hear about the ones that are predicted to be like the next, you know, Ted Williams and the next, you know, those are the ones we hear about, and those are the ones that get traded. I think the other thing is that people, you know, Boston fans are blaming, you know, we've had three big price contracts, you know, in David Price, Hanley Ramirez, and Pablo Sandoval, and none of them are worth anything, you know, not nearly what they were paid for, at least. And everybody's blaming Dombrowski for it, even though Charrington signed it, because their failures are happening on his watch.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're spinning that into a point about how maybe, you know, trades giving up unknown assets for known commodities, especially on good contracts, in the case of Chris Sale, I mean, that's a really good contract they brought in. Where's Kimbrel, Hook? Where's Kimbrel on the list of closers? I mean, I'd have to imagine he's somewhere towards
right
the top.
Right up there with Kenley Jansen, right?
Well, I mean, I would have thought so, but then the reliever market's kind of exploded in the last couple of years. So I don't know. Did Chapman reset it? Andrew Miller, did he reset it? Like, I'd have to look at where Kimbrel slots in. So I don't know that one's a heist, like Chris Sale's deal is a heist, but... To the caller's point.
Money-wise.
Yes.
Right.
That's what I mean. Sorry. I mean money-wise. Like, where does he slot in with other closers? He's been the second-best reliever in baseball this year, second-best closer in baseball.
He's making $13 million.
Okay.
So it's certainly going to be up there.
Yeah. So I wouldn't call that, you know, the same level of contract or security or deal that you're getting for Chris Sale. But to the caller's point, you're not out there. You're not spending in free agency, which, yes, is only money. But at the same time, they've spent a lot of money. They have a lot of dead money. Is that part of the reason they are fearful of dipping into the luxury tax? It certainly feels that way. So don't tell me there's no downside to it. Whether or not John Henry should worry about his luxury tax bill is another debate. But if they're going to worry about it, then these contracts aren't signed in a vacuum. Those big money contracts, when you say it's only money, can come back to bite you. So maybe the trade route isn't the worst avenue to take, right? Maybe that's a better way to go about trying to bring in talent. And I think based on the way Dombrowski has made these deals and traditionally won these deals, I would happen to agree with that. Ryan is in Boston on the Pomerantz deal. Go ahead, Ryan.
I think the biggest issue with the Pomerantz deal isn't, like, right now you look at it, and obviously Pomerantz is pitching a lot better than I think a lot of us figured he would at this point this year. But Espinosa, at the point of the trade, the value of the prospect. I think people had hoped for more. So while you look at it now and say, oh, Pomerantz is pitching great and Espinosa's pitching horrible, it's failing the value of the trade at that.
Okay, so he's breaking up a little bit, Hook, but I think this is a bit of a misnomer. Because one, you don't know what's going to happen. You have no idea what's going to happen with some of these guys, right?
Yeah.
And I'm double checking the exact numbers now, but I looked him up last night. I wonder if Anderson Espinosa, if they pounced in and traded him at the exact right time. Anderson Espinosa came off a year as a 17-year-old, okay, when he was in the Gulf League and the Dominican League, and he pitched really well. Total back in 2015 at 17, put it in quotes, at 17 years old.
Yes.
He had a 1.23 ERA in 15 starts. Okay, so that's impressive, especially as a 17-year-old in that league. But he got called up to low A and got shelled in his one start. Then for Greenville the following season as an 18-year-old, which again is very, very young for that level, he had a 4.38 ERA, a losing record. He was punching guys out almost 9 per 9 innings, but that's not exactly an off-the-charts number, even for a young arm in that league. It's not like he was setting guys down left and right. I wonder if some of the shine had started to come off. Then he went to San Diego, and he really started to go into the tank. 1-3 in 7 starts, 4.73 ERA, only 32 innings, so granted, a very small sample size. And then he had Tommy John surgery. So, I don't know, maybe the Red Sox cashed in that lottery ticket at exactly the right time. I was arguing with this about Dan the Angry Call Screener, Lifshatz, last night, who was like convinced if they held on to Espinosa, they could have got a better pitcher than Pomerantz in the offseason, than Pomerantz at the trade deadline. And I would say maybe. But was Espinosa about to lose some of his shine around baseball? And did Dombrowski say, hey, you know what, we better cash this thing in while it's hot? And I wonder if that's how he read it. And if he did, kudos to him, because he got a guy who's helping them quite a bit right now.
Yeah, and they were a lot higher prices paid for lesser pitchers after the Pomerantz deal last year. There were these other guys who were moved that, and I happen to be Matt, the double M guy from Tampa, who, you know, Matt Moore. I mean, is Matt Moore doing anything for anybody right now?
No, he's been horrible for San Francisco. Yeah.
So, I mean, and San Francisco paid more for Matt Moore than the Red Sox did for Drew Pomerantz. And that was, so not only was it the timing on Anderson Espinosa, it was also the timing on a market that was about to go up. So if they had waited, they would have paid more for Pomerantz or whoever,
in all likelihood. I'm not saying you're wrong. Maybe they could have flipped Espinosa for something better, right? To the caller's point, to Lifshatz's point, like maybe you could have got something more. I don't know the answer to that. But people acting like it's a certainty you could have got more, I think that's a little silly, especially the way Espinosa was pitching, albeit even as a young 18-year-old in low A, Greenville. I wonder if the shine was starting to come off a little bit there. And who knows, maybe his numbers really tanked in the second half when he got dealt to San Diego or their organization because, oh, I don't know, he ultimately needed Tommy John surgery. 617-779-0985. We got all your phone calls there. I asked the question earlier, and I did not pay off the tease. Would you consider dealing a roster player at the trade deadline? Should Dombrowski consider dealing off a roster player? He normally thinks big. Maybe Bradley Jr., maybe Eduardo Rodriguez. We'll get to that after the headlines from Marshall Hook.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
6:39 here on the Sports Hub. It is the Baseball Reporters program. No Tony Maz tonight. Adam Jones with you until 7 o'clock and really beyond. So you're stuck with me tonight. Sorry. Going somewhere for the weekend. Sorry. I'm here for an extra hour on a Friday night. We got your phone calls, 617-779-0985. Your text as well at 69985. Before we get into the question about a roster player, Hook, I enjoyed this text. I like a nice conspiracy theory. We were all wondering why Dave Dombrowski didn't tear up the Pomerantz trade last year and undo it when it turned out that Pomerantz has an arm issue and it could have been undone and they were given the option and the Red Sox didn't want to do it, right? That whole story from Buster Olney. Late last season, it popped back up in the offseason again. this text, guys, could the Red Sox have known Anderson Espinosa was going to need surgery, and that's why they didn't give Pomerantz back when they had the second opportunity. What do you think about that conspiracy theory, Hook? They knew Espinosa was damaged goods,
six
and they said
6 months ahead of his actual injury.
Brilliant.
We
thought San Diego was the dirty team. We thought they were the dirty dogs, and it turns out it was Dombrowski.
He's no Dombrowski.
No.
Smart Browski. That doesn't have as much of a ring.
No, it
to
doesn't
it.
Quite pop. No, yeah, we'll workshop a few other ones. That doesn't quite pop. That's true. Hook, let me ask you. Dombrowski normally thinks big. I mean, look at some of the trades we've gone over in his Boston tenure, which, again, find me a loss outside of Thornburg. Go ahead. Find me a loss. Maybe some would argue Pomerantz. I don't see how it's a loss. Espinosa's not even pitching. So I don't see how it's a loss. Maybe you're not counting it as a full-blown win. Maybe you're not as on board with Pomerantz as I am, and I like that trade from day one. So, look, maybe I'm biased in this trade. All possible. Maybe you don't think Carson Smith is a push. Maybe you'd consider that a loss. I wouldn't, because Wade Miley is giving you nothing or would have given you nothing. In fact, he'd be more of a detriment to you on your roster than Carson Smith is on the DL, my opinion. So Carson Smith certainly isn't a win, but it ain't a loss. Go ahead and find me one outside of the Thornburg deal. But Dombrowski usually thinks big, Hook. Sale, Kimbrel, I don't know that I'd quite put Pomerantz in that boat. Go back to his days in Detroit. David Price, Miguel Cabrera, Max Scherzer. He's normally thinking big, right? Big deals are how he thinks. And I respect it. He's not always right, but I respect that. If he's thinking big, Hook, I don't know that he has enough in the system to go out there and make a big play. And I was asking myself this the other night on my drive home. Like, how do you get, for instance, Manny Machado's name has popped up, right? How do you get him? Or Giancarlo Stanton, not that you have a need in the outfield, but work with me on this, like a big fish. Or even someone like Zach Britton, who Buster only brought up today. That's a high-level impact reliever that you could put in front of Craig Kimbrel. He's got another year on his contract. Only brought up the Red Sox as one of the teams if Baltimore would deal with Boston, and they have before. Andrew Miller and Eduardo Rodriguez was a deal in the division. If Baltimore would do it, would you be in on Zach Britton? So if you're thinking big, you're thinking big fish, should Dombrowski consider putting a roster player into one of these deals? And I brought up names like Jackie Bradley, maybe Eduardo Rodriguez. Perhaps there are others that you would identify. I mean, I don't know if Bogarts is a name you'd bring up or whatever. Should they consider moving roster talent, not just prospects, at this deadline?
My big long pause.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I don't know that they have the depth to do that, right? I mean, one of the reasons, for instance, I mean, because you got to look at it. Like, if you find me a trade for Dustin Pedroia, I'd say, yeah, all right, great. You know, Hanley Ramirez, my God, get him out of town. I'm not interested in him. But those are not going to be the players that a team would want. They're going to want, you know, one of your outfielders, for instance. And one of the reasons,
I mean, to me, Bradley feels like the guy you would move out of the three of them, right? He feels like he has some value, and he's the closest to free agency, and he feels like the guy to move, to me.
Yes, and I could see that. But the reason that I wouldn't probably do that is because what I said a few moments ago, the reason I'm okay with him having depleted the farm system somewhat is the fact that you've got good young talent in there, right? And so if you've got an entire outfield of young guys who are under team control for a while, well, then you don't need to hold on to Manuel Margot and whoever the hell these other guys are. But you can't deal the prospects and then deal the young talent as well, because then you're taking what a lot of people talk about, a 3-year window. But I think you can extend it beyond that on the basis of some of these guys. You can't do that if you start trading them as well.
So here's the reason I bring up a name like Bradley. I do think there's a little bit of outfield depth. I do. I mean, I think Chris Young could be an everyday player, right? It's a downgrade. It's a certain downgrade. And I wouldn't play him in center field. You could either move Betts to center field or you can move Benintendi. And moving Benintendi is probably the most likely scenario because Betts is really, really good in right field. I think he'd be fine in center field. He's really good in right field. So Benintendi to center field is probably the move. And it's a downgrade. But what are you getting back? Again, if we're thinking big, I said Machado, or if you're thinking Giancarlo Stanton and you're giving up an outfielder in that deal, like, that's how Dombrowski tends to think. And the reason I bring up Eduardo Rodriguez, yep, they already have some depth issues, Hook, after, you know, the four guys who I think are the biggest names in that rotation. Sale, Price, Porcello, and Pomerantz. And not that Porcello's pitching well this year, but whatever. Those are four guys that I think you go into the postseason and that's your rotation. Eduardo Rodriguez is the odd man out. You've had some guys, I think. Maybe do you argue with that?
Is no, Rodriguez... I mean Eduardo Rodriguez is that I would have no problem dealing him if you got value for him. And I'm just going to throw him in. But if he's a guy that really brings you something back, because I think he's been inconsistent, probably more health wise than performance wise. But he's young and under control and a lefty and all of that, and so he could get you good value.
Yeah,
out there.
I mean
maybe
he feels like a guy you could put in. And can you survive the last 2 months with
yes.
Brian Johnston, Hector Velasquez as your number five starter, even Doug Fister? I think you probably can. It's not ideal. But what are you getting back if you're getting a big impact player? And Machado's the pipe dream. Stanton's the pipe dream. I don't know. Those are the kind of guys I start to look at on the roster and I say, okay, if I'm trying to think like Dave Dombrowski, does he feel like a guy, Hook, who only wants to trade for a reliever or an average third baseman at the deadline that doesn't feel like him? And maybe that's all he'll do. Maybe that's all he can do at this year's deadline. But if you're trying to think a little bit like Dave Dombrowski, that feels like the way he thinks. And I would consider a roster player with a legit return. I would consider it. 617-779-0985. We'll continue with your feedback here on the Baseball Reporters, and we'll wrap things up next.